Luke chapter 14, 25th verse. Look at me. And there went great multitudes with him. I want you to know that. And he turned and said unto them, boy, this is strong language. If any man come to me and hate, now Marie, listen to this. And by the way, most of you know what a hyperbole is. If you don't, I'll teach you. A hyperbole is a literative device in learning. Jesus used four hyperboles here. And what he does, he makes a point, and he exaggerates it on purpose. And this will sound crazy. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, listen to this, he cannot be my disciple. He didn't say it would be difficult to be a disciple. He said he can't be. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? You won't bear your cross? No disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation and it is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. But what king going to make war, listen to this, against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth where he be able with 10,000 to meet that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now here's what we're preaching on this morning. And this is a culture. The culture of no commitment. Let's tell it like it is. Why are we in the mess we're in? No commitment. Why is this country at 53% of the marriages going down the tubes? No commitment. Why? You lost man, lost lady, lost teenager. You're going to go to hell. No commitment. No commitment to marriage. It's got too easy just to say bye to somebody. How many marriages have busted up at our church? People not even living for God just because of no commitment. Commitment also to relationships. By the way, if you're my friend, and I don't know how many of you are, you ought to be my friend in the good times and the bad. I am not telling you to be a yes man to me. I'm not telling you to pamper me. I'm saying if you're a friend in the good times, you better stay a friend in the bad times or I'm not going to respect you. Commitment to children. You may say, well, I think I have failed some in that. Well, you're in a big majority. But I want you to know something. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Hear me. Them two kids, that one and that one back there, I'm still committed to them. Some of you said, well, I can't wait till mine gets married and gets out of the house. You're crazy. Right when they were kids, you could hold them down. Now you can't do anything. The decisions they make now, boom. Also, listen to this. Commitment to church and church relationships. Let me tell you something. I don't think church ought to be your number one commitment. I think your family ought to be your number one commitment. But if your family's your number one commitment, you'll also be committed to church. I won't have to wonder where you are on Sunday night and Wednesday night because you're committed. It's time. You want to be a happy Christian, a great Christian, get committed to the church. And also this, get committed to the relationships in the church. Now, what's that mean? Now, whether you always agree with me or not, and maybe I've hurt you in the past, and I'm going to stop right here with all candor and humility. If I ever have, I probably told some people I have, and whether they forgive me or not, I can't make that judgment. I'm going to tell you right now, for you that I don't know, that maybe I just made a mistake or did something that was out of line. Because, see, I'm just as human as you are. Forgive me. I'm asking this among almost 1,000 people. Will you please forgive me? I don't know how long that line would be, but I don't want to fail nobody. Here's what you need to do. You need to be committed to me, not because my name's John Smith, because I am pastor. You need to be committed to them two young guys, not because of anything but their position. You hear me? I preach the truth this morning. Hey, by the way, you need to be committed to these deacons. They're servants. Sometimes I like to just beat them half to death, but I'm not allowed. They're good men. Whether we always agree or not, I respect you. And I'll tell you when I don't agree, and you tell me when you don't agree with me, and it don't make no difference to me. You found out I don't care. You need to respect these men. They're carrying the burden of this church. They're carrying a big burden. I'm big enough for them. But they got the rest of it. But you know why churches are crumbling right now? No commitment. Hey, we got pastors. Listen, I'm going to preach against pastors. There's pastors that had no commitment. They done compromised the Bible, compromised everything. Why'd they do that? They don't have no commitment. Now let me hurry into the message. Luke 14:26. Boy, this is when it gets a little uncomfortable. Why don't you commit? Why don't you commit? There's four reasons why you don't commit. Number one on the board, a fear of the superior passion required. Look what Jesus said. This is a hyperbole. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, how many right now? Look here. I'm looking by my grandbaby back here. I've got a little hug from my grandbaby. That thing says I need to hate my grandbaby. No. That's a hyperbole. What is a hyperbole? A hyperbole is Jesus teaching and exaggerates a point to make a point. Here's what he's saying. If you love me, you love me the way you're supposed to love me. In comparison, it will look like you're hating your father, your mother, your sister, and your brother. He's not saying hate your parents. The Bible says love your parents. But listen to me. He said you make your love for me greater than anything else. And your love for them will be greater than anything else. But it will seem like hate compared to the love you have for me. Did I make that point good? See, Jesus uses those things. Secondly, a fear in verse 27, I should have read it with you, and whosoever doth bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. A fear of the sacrifice person required. I want to ask somebody, how many of you are willing to carry your cross? Because he carried his. How many of you doing that? Look, let me say, there's three things here. First of all, the meaning of the cross. What he mean? You can't carry what he done. He carried the sins of the world. He took my sin and your sin and redeemed us from our sin. He resurrected from the grave. You can't do that. So what's he mean? By saying such a staunch statement. Here's what he means. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. Listen to me. And you better listen. If you don't get this right now, you may be committed right now. I'm not saying you are not. You're going to be committed tomorrow? You won't be if you don't pray the prayer, I die daily. That's talking about the pastor. I want to talk about y'all. I've been there and done that. I've slipped in sin every day, I die daily. I ain't talking about y'all, I'm talking about me. That way you won't get your feelings hurt. Hey, listen to me. I'm not perfect. Over 34 years, I'm almost 35 years in August. I can't tell you that every decision I made here was perfect. But you can't say you never made a bad one either. I'll tell you when I made my bad ones, though. I know when. When I didn't pray the prayer, today, Lord, I commit myself to you and I die daily. What's that mean, Lord? Here's what it means. Listen to this. The only will I have is his will. The only plan I have is his plan. The only future I have is his future. It's out of my control if I'm dying daily. It's out of my control if I'm sacrificing my life for him. But I tell you this, I know in my mind, sometimes I don't live it. I know he knows best. And sometimes I ain't gonna lie, so I'm gonna be straight out. I never lie in the pulpit, try not. I lie to Dave once in a while. Tell him he's good looking, he ain't. What are we talking about here? He has a plan for my life. Kids, he has a plan for your life. I had you in Sunday school. He has a plan for your life. Look at me. Hey, parents, he has a plan for their life and your life. Grandparents, he has a plan for your life. But you gotta die daily. Oh, I want to be honest with you. I am transparent this morning. My wife will tell you this. I said, honey, we had the best week we've had in 34 years of marriage. I didn't talk about the church all week except for Pastor Chad and Pastor Jared worrying me about half to death. Chad especially, he called me up and said, I need some help here. Then he called me, I hate hurting your vacation. I need some help here. I said, well, then what are you doing? And I need some help. All week. But we've had two deaths in our church. Becky, I prayed for you. I wanted to be here. Brittany, I don't know if she's here, but I want to tell you, I wanted to be here. There she is. I wanted to be here. I wanted to put my arms around and tell you how much I loved you. I couldn't be. But I do love you. And by the way, God hears you down there at Myrtle Beach. And I was down there. And boy, I was having a good time. I said, Mama, how about us just retire? I bait her every once in a while. That's hyperbole. Let us retire. Listen to me. We didn't have one ill word to each other for 7 days. That hadn't happened in 35 years. We didn't have an ill word. Ask her, did we have an ill word? Now, when we crossed over in West Virginia, all bets were off. We started fighting as soon as we got across West Virginia. Well, not bad fighting, just a little skirmishes. You're driving too fast. You're going to get a ticket. Watch out. How many of you men ever heard all that? Thank you. And I said, honey, she said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if it's the will of God for you to be down here or not, but I want to tell you something. It ain't the will of God for me being down here, and I ain't leaving my grandbaby. If you want to go, you'll go without me. Happy Valentine's Day. And number two here, the mark of the cross. And I'll be quick on this. What is the mark of the cross? How many of y'all believe Jesus was totally obedient those 33 and a half years? How many believe he didn't sin? Now, we'll never get there. How many believe he bore it all for you? Here's what the mark of the cross means. Total obedience to God. Total obedience to God. Total obedience to God. Tell you a story. You read about it. You don't know about it because the name. A girl named Nikki Thompson. But her name actually was Carrie in Iraqi. Iraqi cannot say Nikki. She had a burden for the Iraqi people. Her and her husband and three others went to Iraq. And they traveled north to Mosul. And they were ambushed. Three people died on the scene. Three Baptist missionaries. Nikki's husband got killed mortally. But he didn't die until he got his wife to safely. She was shot 20 times. And one of the shots went through her jaw. Went right through her jaw. Now, here's the miracle. Didn't damage one tooth. Hit one nerve. But it disfigured her. She's already had something like 50 surgeries. You know what her prayer is? She said, I'll never be able to go back to Iraq. She can't walk. But she said, I want to pray for every one of them. And pray that there are more people dedicate their life to go to Iraq and start churches. She said, now you want to know what commitment is? That's commitment.
That's right.
Listen to this. The method of the cross, or the method to develop disciplined habits. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And the word deeds there can go in to mean discipline. Well, here it is. I'm going to ask how many of you really think you're a disciple. I'm going to ask you that before I name these six things. Just ask you. Number one, boy, I'll tell you, the discipline of a quiet time with God. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples. Now, have read. I ain't caring how many verses you read every day. But how many of you, and don't raise your hand, you're in the Word every day. You say, I wonder why my marriage isn't vibrant. You're not in the Word every day. You're not a disciple. You're saved. But hey, you can be a disciple today. But if you ain't doing that, you cannot be a disciple. Let's go on. The discipline of prayer. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to confess it. I spend a lot of time in prayer. But I want to tell you, in the last month, and when that man right there taught his lesson, after Richard Harper preached his, I want you to know something. Everything changed. And I pray to him every day. I believe I pray sincerely. But I want to be honest with you. Found out a little bit something about my prayer life when I started looking at it. I'm entirely too ritualistic. If you've noticed me in the last month, You've heard me change my praying at the offering. You've heard me change my praying in the church. How many believe we're too inconsistent in our prayers? Let's just be honest about it. And by the way, if you can't do, if you're not praying, this one cannot be my disciple. He said, that's a little harsh. Why? I'm not saying the Lord said. The discipline of tithing. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now look at me. There's some crazy, and I hope this gets out over the air and everywhere. There's some crazy people in Baptist churches and all kinds of churches asking their people to give their inheritance to the church. Look at me. I'll never ask my people to do that. Now, if somebody wants to do it, I won't stand in the way of God if that's the will of God. But you ain't going to ever hear me talk. I know two preachers that taught people literally out of their money in old age. Awful! And had to take legal means to get it back. Children took care of it. Just give your tithe. That's 10%. And an offering over that, your faith promise. You said, what about the... He said, forsake all. Listen to me. You better look at this. He owns it all. He just wants 10% in the offering. Every bit of it, he's let you have. The discipline of fellowship. A new commandment I give you that you love one another. Listen to me. Look at me. And I may go over 5 minutes. Don't let your heart not be troubled. I'm finishing this. Don't say you're a disciple if you don't love everybody in this room. Don't say you're a disciple if you haven't forgiven everybody in this room. He said, well, I can't hardly forget. You could if you want to, because you don't know what forget means. It means, here's what it means. It don't mean amnesia. It means it doesn't have no control over you anymore. What it is, that person that hurt you doesn't bother you when you see him because you got victory. And you know they're your brother and you ought to love them. And you ought to like them too. The discipline of witnessing. Now listen. Do I want you out at Monday morning women's soul winning with that dear sister back there? At 9:30? Yes, I do. If you're a homemaker and can make it, we want you. But I want you to know something. I want you on Thursday. I want you on Saturday. But I want you to know something. If you can't make any of those days, you keep some tracks in your pocket and you go visit them when you can during the week. I'm not a legalist. Say you got to do it my way. Then the discipline of worship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I want to tell you, I'm not going to beat you deaf if you miss some Sunday nights, but you're missing out. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you do not want to miss what I'm preaching tonight. I want you to tell you, you don't want, and I want to ask a favor of you. Bring all the lost people you know to church tonight. Bring them all. I want you to do it. It's going to be a good message. It ain't going to burn too much. Then number three, a fear of the supreme price required. Boy, this is it right here. He said, if you're building a tire, who builds the tire and doesn't count the cost? Huh? Nobody. Because if you do, if that's what you want to do, count on this. You don't count the cost, you'll be a mockery. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go on the record. I believe building that building, or building a building, is the will of God. But I want to tell you, when we were in our last building, I'm smart enough to know something. We didn't get half the pledges, but I didn't get mad at nobody. But we got enough to lay the ground out. Not the foundation, the ground. Because when God does meet the need, whether there or wherever, God will do it. Now, I want to be honest with you. I did something I didn't want to do. Most preachers just went on headway and go ahead and put the church in insurmountable debt. Well, I'm not going to put the church in insurmountable debt if we can't even come up with a down payment. I didn't want to do it, Gary, but I pulled back. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I want to tell you something. I've got to be his disciple. I saw that the cost was more than we could afford at the time. And I didn't want to be a mockery. It's still there. And we ain't ruined it. We ain't ruined nothing. But I want to tell you, Preacher Smith, if you'd have missed it and these deacons missed it, we went ahead with our pride and said, I'm just going on. We'd have probably been down in the dumps right now. You wouldn't have the mission project. You wouldn't have the kids that where they're at now. The families where they're at. We did right. Some people may not understand because you don't understand. When you start building something, you've got to count the cost. And I say this to you. Deacons, preachers, don't stop now. Don't quit on church now. Don't quit on God now. Don't slack up and don't back down now. Somebody say amen. And lastly, I'm done. A fear of the surrendered pride required. Here's the story, verse 31 through 33. He says, there was a king getting ready to go to battle. And go ahead and write it down. The lesser king that had 10,000, write down, that's me. Write down, that's me. And then there was a king with 20,000. The guy with 10,000 started to go against the guy with 20,000. He said, well, I'm going to think it's over. He said, this is dumb. So he sent an ambassador over. Oh, you're going to like this right now. I'm getting ready to say something good. Good. He sent an ambassador over. And he said, anyway, we can surrender to you. You're in control. He said, what's that picture of? Jesus is the greater king. You'll never be a disciple till you're willing to surrender it all to him. He's a stronger king. Hey, unsaved, he will be the best king for you. Why don't you quit living down here when you can live up here when you get saved? How many sermons have you listened to the last 2 months have been toward you and you just sit back there one, two, but you don't. God have mercy on you.